Hebrews 1, you want to know how Hebrews breaks down. The first thing he does is he speaks of the preeminence of Christ as the King. He speaks of his position over the angels. And then he goes on into Moses, his position, how he's a superior priesthood to the law. And Moses was servant, he was a son. And then he begins to get into Melchizedek. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, because he was a king, then a priest. And in some of the latter chapters of Hebrews, it begins to speak of his preeminence over the law. And the law was foreshadowing him. And there's a very powerful scripture in Hebrews. Says, we have an altar that they that serve the tabernacle. We have an altar to eat of that they that serve the tabernacle had no right to. If anybody is leading you backwards to the law, you're eating from the wrong tabernacle. We have a tabernacle in the heaven that they that serve the law could not eat from it. Amen. The law could only take you so far. Hebrews 1, at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's how he spoke, prophet, priest, and king. But in these last days, speaking of this new covenant, he speaks unto us through his son. Whom, say whom? He appointed heir of all things. He is the appointed heir. He was the appointed spokesperson. That's why God anointed him the way he did, so everybody would know, this is my son. Hear his words. Hear him. He's the appointed heir by whom he made the worlds and the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, Hebrews chapter 1 is going to speak predominantly. We're going to get in there in chapter 2. Chapter 1 is all about Christ, the appointed heir, the heir king of the Father. This is speaking of his kingly role with the Father, his preeminence over the angels, and him being the appointed heir of the Father. And here it said he sat down, notice the wording here, at the right hand of the majesty, say majesty, on high, the highest place in the seen and unseen world. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. There is no higher place. Now he starts speaking of the angels. This is very powerful because we're going to get into a discussion about the angels. As your revelation of Christ shifts, so does the angels' operations in your life. He says, being so much better than the angels, have by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Now he is quoting directly from Psalms chapter 2 and saying that. And you can see that underlined there in Psalms 2. But Psalms 2, 6, notice what it says. I've set my, what? King. He's talking about the preeminence of his kingly anointing on the holy hill of Zion. Then he said, I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, thou art my son. Which of the angels did he say that to? None of them. Now, that's very important. You're going to need to understand something. Not Gabriel, not Michael the archangel. All of those angels are under his authority and his dominion. Would everybody agree with that? Amen. Now, I'm meditating on this. I'm going to establish something, then I'm going to bring us into this. Because when I start bringing you into this, that's where it gets a little difficult. Where we fit in all this. We all know this, but we're going to have to come into the image of it. And again, I will be unto him what? A father. He shall be to me a son. Now, there's a lot of scriptures in the Old Testament said that, but there was something the Spirit of the Lord quickened me to do today. I was meditating this particular part, and he said, I want you to just run across, go to the cross reference. And I pulled the cross reference. I found this scripture, and it's really powerful. And this scripture is Psalm 89, verse 26. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him, listen to this, my firstborn. Say, I'll make him my firstborn. Now, this is prophetically speaking of Christ, higher than the kings of the earth. Now, being the firstborn, as you know, under Old Testament, all the firstborn would inherit everything. He would get the inheritance. So if you were the firstborn, you were in good shape. Amen? If you weren't, you better be nice to the firstborn. Because he has all of it. That's what Jacob and Esau was about. Supplanter. They're fighting. Who's going to be the firstborn? I'm the firstborn. You're not the firstborn, but you're part of the firstborn. We have a firstborn that's unlike any other firstborn there is. He's higher than all the kings of the earth, but this firstborn did something that no other firstborn ever did. He's so liberal, so generous, he shares his throne. He shares his throne with you and I. As the firstborn, he's invited us into his position as the firstborn. His inheritance as the appointed heir of all things, he was the appointed heir. The Father gave all things to him. The entire outer perimeter and a whole lot more that we don't know of, but we know that outer perimeter of that circle up there is his inheritance. It's also yours. Amen. He's the firstborn and he's over all the kings of the earth. So whatever this inheritance is, there's literal power. Kingdoms of this world and the kings of the earth and the systems of this earth. There's been power granted to him above it all. And he's granted that power to us, to all the kings of the earth. I like that because when I'm praying, I need to know that if they're kings in the earth in the way, they have to get out of the way. Amen. And again, now he gets back into the angels in verse 6, and I'll say, when he bringeth his first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And then the angel saith, he maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. They were his ministers. He's talking about, maybe the angels in the garden. You remember the garden? And those men were there. And Peter drew the sword and cut off that servant's ear with a sword. And he said, listen, they that live by the sword will die by the sword. He goes, my kingdom's not going to function that way. But do you not know that I could presently ask my Father for 12 legions of angels and he would deliver me right now? They say right now. 1,000 angels and a legion. 72,000 angels. Now he himself going to the cross could have called upon the angels and delivered himself right there. All he had to do is ask. Boom. That was the authority he walked in. Why? He had preeminence, but he walked as a king. And they recognized his authority as a king. Now listen to me. When you're a son, a lot of times when we're in sonship role, we look at our angels a little differently than we were in kingship role. In sonship role, we see angels that protect us, assist us, help us. But in a role of a king, that all shifts. Angels are now a full-blown army. They assist the heir kings of salvation in the position of an army. They move in ranks and they can be called upon and prayed to the Father and he will send armies. Say armies. That's one of the operations that is to come. We saw that with Elijah. You remember Elisha? In Gehazi, he said, open his eyes, and he saw the armies. The Lord said, I could call those armies with one request. We're actually going to move into a place of authority with the Father that we can ask for that kind of operation. Angels are with the heirs of salvation. The Bible's very clear. They're with all of us. But armies are with the heirs. They're with the kings. They will do the bidding of a king because the king has a certain anointing upon his life. Every king, if he's a true king, has an army. When we're a king in Christ, we'll have armies that will work on our behalf. See, armies. And they will do things. Hallelujah. Those armies turned those Assyrians around and smote them with blindness. And Elisha walked them right into the enemy's camp and said, now open their eyes. That's pretty powerful deliverance, wouldn't you say? So, again, he's speaking of his preeminence. Now, why is this important? Because we must understand where our position is. You have to understand your position. You have to understand what Christ's position is. A lot of people are getting enthralled by angels, but really angels, believe it or not, to the heirs of salvation, you hold a higher rank than any created angel there is. Did you get that? In any created angel exists, you hold as an heir of salvation a higher rank than them and a higher authority, but you may not know that. And until you know it, they won't respond. Because they respond to who you are in Christ. They respond. They don't even have to ask you. They know if you have it. Because you know you'll have it. When you got it, you know you got it. It's not a false faith or something that's worked up. It's something you wear. It's something that's on you. It's called image. It's called identity. As we have borne the image of the first Adam, we will bear the image of the last. The second Adam. The final Adam. They know. And so do the devils. The devils know too. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you? That guy was trying to exercise authority in the name of Jesus, but he didn't know him. And the devils knew it. The angels will know it. When your time comes, when you sit in the right place, in the right place of authority, they'll know and they'll work on your behalf in a level that they're not working right now. It's part of our inheritance. Say inheritance. They'll work in accordance to your level. They're always there for you, protecting you. But they'll become armies on your behalf. Can you imagine an heir of salvation carrying an army with them? If an army came out against you like they did Elisha, that he wouldn't even be bothered. He maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But the Son, he saith, notice again, thy throne, say thy throne. I'm giving you something here that's really important because I'm going to march you to chapter 2 in a minute. You're going to need chapter 1 and chapter 2 if you're going to dwell where God wants you to be. Amen. It's going to require a renewing of mind, a renewing of your image, a renewing of identity. Like we talked about on Sunday, the two sons, the prodigal son. He lost his image. First thing he did when he came back, God restored his image, put the best robe. But neither one of them knew who they were. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter, again, talking about his throne. He's reiterating over and over again. Look here. He's reiterating his kingship. He's king, he's Lord, he has preeminence over the angels. That's all chapter 1's about. And he said, in which of the angels said any time, sit at my right hand? Not one time. Gabriel doesn't sit at his right hand. Michael does not sit at his right hand. Christ does, but so do you. You've been given a preeminent position by birthright, by inheritance. You may not be walking there, but it's yours. The big problem we have is everybody wants to execute dominion in the earth. I found out where dominion actually is. Sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. You want your enemies made a footstool. Stop trying to fight them. Sit. Sit.
Sometimes, like Moses, you got to leave the battle, go up to the mountain, sit down, and then you win. Oh, I've had to learn that the hard ways, but now I'm learning the easy ways. There's certain things you're not going to win by keep fighting and fighting, fighting. You're just going to wear yourself out. That doesn't go very well with spiritual warfare models, but it really works when you know how to dwell in the right hand. It says, are they not ministering spirits? Now get this, read this very carefully. Verse 14, sent forth the minister to them who shall be what? Heirs of salvation. They'll minister to you at every level. They'll protect you the day you're born again. How many times have you heard testimonies of people getting delivered by angels? They'll be with you along the way. But then you come into a level of kingly authority. They shift with you. They shift with your authority. That's what's going to happen in the last days. Hallelujah. Knowing all this, he says something very interesting in chapter 2, verse 1. Knowing all this, he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we let them slip. He's speaking to us as the appointed heir from the right hand of God. Give earnest heed, he says. Don't let that slip. Don't let your understanding of who he is slip. Be very easy. If you do, the systems of this world will override your heart, override your understanding, and they'll try to push you back down to lose your image. What God wants us to do is grow up into the fullness of the image of Christ. A lot of people have a lot of revelation of what's the image of Christ. Well, Christ is peace, Christ is love. Yes. He's the high priest that sitteth at the right hand of God. Yes. He is ever living to make intercession for you at the right hand of God. Yes. He is your savior. Yes. He's also the king over all the kingdoms of this world, over all the kings of the world. He sits in a preeminent position above all power and all authority. Everyone's looking for all power and all authority. Everyone's trying to operate in dominion. I'm going to say something to you. You're not going to fully operate in dominion without the crown. Did you just hear me? If you're not dwelling in his crown, you're probably not dwelling where his dominion is. You're going to operate and execute authority in every level of salvation you're at. I get that part. But the kind of authority and kind of power and the kind of dominion that everyone's looking at prophetically right now, that level of dominion is dwelling in his crown. So he gets back just a minute. Look at this, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect? Everyone looked at your neighbor and said, do not neglect. Where do I fit? Glad you asked that. Hebrews 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, this is Psalms 8. He's speaking directly out of. It's interesting here. Now watch this. One in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man. So we have man and the son of man. Both Psalm says it and Hebrew says it. What is man? Now Psalm says, what is man that thou art mindful of and the son of man? What is man that thou art mindful of him and the son of man? That thou visitest him. There's two. That's important. Verse 7. You made him. Now notice this now. A little lower than the angels. Well, I thought he had preeminence over the angels. Now he's made lower than the angels. Now he had preeminence in his birth. He said, let all the angels worship him. But then now, he's made lower. He said, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. But then you crowned him, say crowned him, with glory and honor. And then set him over the works of his hands. So he was made lower, crowned, and then set over the work of his hands. Some said he was made lower than the angels, crowned, then he made him have dominion. So where did he restore the dominion? It was after he was crowned, after he was set lower than the angels, after he was crowned, then God restored the dominion. Right? Read on. Thou hast put all things of subjection under his feet. For in that he put all subjection on him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but we don't see all things put on him. Now, in verse 9, he's going to explain it to you. Verse 9 is huge. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He had to leave his authority the Father gave him. Now, I want you to see the picture because it's really important. Jesus had to come on the scene as the first begotten. But the God had to give him all the authority before the cross that he was going to pay for at the cross. But he had to give it to him in advance. He comes speaking of a new covenant he hadn't paid for yet. What gave God the authority for him to crown him in the earth before the cross? The cross is when he paid for it. The cross is when he died. The cross is when he went under. And that's when he left his authority. He was made lower than the angels, the suffering of death. He had to leave it. But how did he do all that in advance? That's what the baptism of John was about. When he came to the waters before his coronation, John said, I should be baptized by you. He said, no, John. We have to fulfill all righteousness because today I'm going to be coronated by my Father. The Holy Spirit's going to come on me. And you got to fulfill this. When you put me under, it's going to be done. I'm going to the cross today. I'm going to be buried today. I'm going to be buried. And once I do, when I come up, I'm coming up as a new man. And when I do that, I cannot turn around. That's why he could not call upon the angels, because he already committed to the suffering of death of all men. And the Father received the commitment in the baptism. He died and was buried in the back. When he came up, the Father put the anointing on him. He started speaking the new covenant. He had not paid the price yet, but he did symbolically in the baptism. Do you see that? So, fast forward to the cross. He now has the estate of a king. He's operating as a king. You saw it. He operated a high priest. He operated as a king. I mean, everything obeyed him. Bread would multiply at his command. Fish in the sea would multiply at his command. He would pray and it would happen. When it came time to pay taxes, he operated so differently. He said, Peter, go fishing. The coin will come up. The fish will come up. The coin will be in its mouth. That's your tax money. Lord, I would operate like that. Anybody else would operate like that? Everything he needed was always divinely laid out for him. Everything obeyed was subject to him. He walked on the water, the earth, all of it was all subject to him. That was his kingly authority and dominion. God gave him the dominion, the post-cross dominion. He gave it to him in the earth because he went symbolically to the cross at the baptism of John. He was buried there. The old man was buried. The new king was resurrected. You see that? Now fast forward to the cross. He has the dominion. He's the king. All the angels are subjected to him. Now he's made lower than the angels. He went into the grave, made lower than the angels. He had to let go of that authority. He had to let go of the dominion. And he had to taste death for every one of us. That's when he was made lower than the angels at that point. He lost all of his authority. And became a sin offering for you and I. He fulfilled the baptism water of John. What was done symbolically at John, he was now fulfilling. That's what was happening here. Then the Father comes
and raises him from the dead and lifts him all the way back up. Now listen, he lifts him all the way back up and then crowns him. Say, crowns him. What do you think he's crowning with him? The restored kingly anointing. You are now my appointed heir forever. You sit at the right hand of my throne. It's forever after the order of David, but it's forever. You are the king above every king in the earth. All power in heaven and earth now is yours. A fully restored dominion in the right hand of the Father. But, he said, what is man? That was the Son of Man. What is man? You went with him through all of it. You went with him. Because Romans says we were buried with him in baptism. Buried in the likeness of his death. Even Peter said, I want to go with you. He goes, you can't go the first time, but you'll follow me here after, Peter. The first time I got to go. But then you're going to follow me, and I'm going to bury your old man as far as the east is from the north, is from the south. I'm going to bury him. And I'm going to raise your new man to where I am. And whatever revelation you have of how high you have been raised, that is going to be your authority. How high did he raise you? How far are you? What did he make you when he raised you? How do you see yourself in that ascension? Do you see yourself as a son that's been raised in the right hand of God? Yes. Do you see yourself as an heir that's been raised in the right hand of God? Do you see and understand that you are a co-equal king to all of his authority, joint heir with him at the right hand of the Father? Oh, well, hey, hey, ho, ho. That's Jesus. How far did he raise you? He was crowned. He was crowned. Remember? He said he made lower than the angel the suffering of death. Then God crowned him, restored the fullness of his kingly authority. Then what? Made him have dominion. Over, now you have dominion over my church. You have dominion. So what it was? The suffering? Did you do that? You did. You just don't know you did. Your old man was buried with him in baptism. That's when you got born again. Your new man was raised with him. Now, when you're first born again, you may not know how far you got raised up. You're going to struggle for a little while of just being a sinner that's made this translation to the kingdom of light. And now you're a son. You're a new creation. And we struggle with that because we have all this old stuff we're still wearing. But God's made us a new creation. And so we're having to learn sonship. So some of us are learning sonship. And then he's starting to perfect the sonship. He's perfecting the peace. He's perfecting the love. He's perfecting the relationship. He's always perfecting it, but he solidifies it. Then he moves us to become heirs. He starts pointing us. We move out of the prodigal son running. We move out of the elder son jealousy and we start moving. You know, if the elder son and the prodigal both dwelt in the Father's throne, neither one of them would have been acting like that. They weren't dwelling in his throne. They were just dwelling around him. But what God does is he starts moving us up into our heirship. And we start dwelling with him as a king. We're going to start thinking differently, behaving differently, operating differently. We'll start seeing the estate of the angels differently. They have been sent to help me as an heir of salvation. As a king, they have been sent to be an army on the behalf of kings. Do you believe an army of angels are with you? The next step is how to get them released to operate on our behalf. Now, watch this. So that's why he said, don't neglect this great salvation. Don't neglect it. You better keep watching, keep looking at it, keep looking to lose who you are. It's easy. The enemy will try to beat you back down in who he thinks you are or who he thinks you should be. And God's trying to raise you up. Say, raise you up. One of the things that was remarkable in that revelation of the prodigal son is when the prodigal came home, the father never demanded he repent, never beat him down for what he did, never did that. The first thing he did is put a brand new robe on him, a royal robe. He restored his image. That was what the father wanted. He immediately brought him back into his image. That's glorious. Verse 6, he says, what is man? Thou art mindful of him and the son of man. So we saw what happened to the son of man. Here's what Jesus, look at me. Here's what Jesus is requiring. He that believeth on me. How far can you go in your belief system? You're going to have to, like Ephesians 4 says, grow up into him in all things. The church has not grown up into him as a king, but it will in the last days. In this hour, the church will grow up into him as a king. What it says, we are kings and priests. And the elders begin to decree it in chapter 5 of Revelation. They will reign, the kings and priests will reign in the earth. Now, look at verse 9 again. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We looked at that. Then God crowned him, raised him up to the right hand of the Father. Then not only raised him up, made him a high priest, but he also made him a king and crowned him. Say, crowned him. And in that crown is when he said he set him over to dominion over the works of his hands. It's through that crown that dominion was restored. He wears that. But he doesn't just wear it for himself. He's the firstborn. And he shares that with you, if you can believe it. The hard part is if you can believe it. Because when you try to merge into that by faith, your identity will show up. What you think about yourself will show up. That's the hard part. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made what? A little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Look at verse 10. I love this verse. You ready? Verse 10, ready? Did I lose you all already? For it became him. Say, became him. He did this for this purpose. He was motivated for this reason. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and what? Bringing many sons unto glory. It became him. He did this to bring many sons unto glory. Say, it became him to bring many sons unto glory. He did it so he could bring you to where he was. Father, I will. They be with me where I am. They may behold the glory you have given me as the firstborn. We all with open face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. That's not looking at a glory cloud. That's looking at his word and saying, this is who I am. But there are people that try to perfect themselves in this jurisdiction by, you're not going to get this kind of image just reading. Because this is not a perfecting of the mind. It's a perfecting of the identity of who you are as a new created spiritual being. That identity, those words have to be brought up to where he is. And you have to be forged in your identity in union with him. And it starts with agreeing. Because right now, I'd imagine some of you are in this battle coming along like, how can I be that when I'm this? How many of you ever tried to approach God and you got all your junk on you? You got all your stuff on you. And I'm just trying to get through the door. I don't even know about being a king. Lord, I'm just seeing if you'll let me through the door, please. May I come in? I'm the prodigal. Can I come be a servant in your house, Father? Maybe Chuck will share some of his inheritance with me. I don't know. Help me. What is the Father? He never, now listen to this, even when the prodigal was running, the father never varied in the way he saw him. The prodigal did, but the father did not. He does not vary at your stumblings. You do, but he doesn't. God is all about the perfecting of your image, not earthly image, heavenly image. Heavenly image. You're not going to get the heavenly image dwelling in the earth. You're going to get the heavenly image by meditating His Word, by practicing the awareness, by agreeing when everything in you is disagreeing. As I promise you, the time you try to sit there and say, I am a king, there are going to be things rising up in you that absolutely do not agree with that statement. All your past, all your stuff, all your issues, all that what you think about you and what everybody else thinks about you is going to show up. All the time, I am a joint heir king sitting at the right hand of God. And all this stuff, no, you're not. Don't you know what you did? Look at the way you handled that situation, this situation. Who do you think you are? We must give earnest heed. Earnest heed. So great a salvation we've been given, don't let it slip. Because this level you're not going to find hanging around 30-fold milk. You're just not going to find this kind of operation. That's why we have to come into the meat. That's why we have to come to full age to know who we are, because milk is never going to get us to this level. Milk will get multitudes, but it will not produce the heir kings that God's looking for in the last days. You can write that down. That is a fact. He said it became him. Say became him. To bring many sons unto what? Glory. What was he crowned with? Glory and honor. Are you or are you not a joint heir with him? If we're sons, then we're heirs. And if heirs, we're joint heirs. Are you or are you not a joint heir? I'm joint heir to what? How far does joint heirship go? How far does it go? We know him as sons. Many of you know him as the high priest and the intercessor and the mediator and the captain of our salvation. We know him in all these areas. When it comes to king, we know he's the king. That's not the problem. Do we know we're co-equal kings with him? Do we sit as co-equal heirs? Because until we do, we can't have the crown that belongs to the Church of Philadelphia. I'm going to submit something to you. I don't think that crown's coming down. I think the church is going to come up to where it is, and God's going to crown his remnant church in the last days. They're going to grow up into him and all things, and he's going to crown them, and that dominion's going to get released. The dominion, say, the dominion is in that crown. Now, you can operate in dominion outside that crown. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying. Every one of us have a right to operate in the name of Jesus and the authority of that name. But there is a dominion that belongs to the kingly anointing that will release angelic armies to operate on the behalf of the heirs and the kings of salvation. And the kings and priests are going to reign into the earth in this hour. That's why he was establishing his preeminence as king, because it became him to do all this and bringing many sons unto glory. He's not ashamed to call you a brother. Let me ask you a question. Where does he call you a brother at? Where he sits. He's not ashamed to call you a co-equal brother or sister with him at the right hand of the Father. That is Jesus. I know he's God. He doesn't share his deity with you, but he shares everything else. That's who he is. Are you getting the revelation? Is your head being exploding a little bit? We have to move into this. We have to move into the fullness. Notice this. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him, what? In all things. Say in all things. What it said in verse 13 of Galatians, of Ephesians 4. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and help. Oh, he gave all that for this kind of operation. Some people cannot go there right now. I get that. Some people said, look, I'm just trying to get through the door. I get that. But you're going to get through the door. And your sonship's going to get solidified. And you're going to become like Benjamin. And you're going to get
into the fullness of God's love, and you're going to dwell in His love. You're going to get secure in His love, and you're going to rest securely in Him. And He's going to shield you and cover you all the day long, and then He's going to invite you to come dwell with Him in the room of government. And He's going to start talking about the kingly anointing. So you might as well just get that into your compass right now. Amen? Set it in the compass. We're setting the compass for the kings right now. That's what Hebrews does. I told you out the other day when he started looking at Hebrews, he said, I know you know that that's who I am, but do you know that's who you are? Do you know that you sit with me as a co-equal joint heir? I said, well, yeah. So he goes, well, come and sit. So I did what I normally do. I'd come through the door. I went to the throne of grace, went into the rest, and I went into union with him like I normally do. Here's what shifted. And I'm in there. I'm doing what I normally do. I'm fellowshipping with him as a son of the Father. I'm in union with you. I'm one with you. I'm a son of the Father. I'm love. He goes, yeah, but I want you to fellowship with me as a co-equal joint heir king. And I promise you, I was lost. I don't have any grid for this. I felt, I'm just being honest with you. He showed me this. He took me to Hebrews. He says, are you or are you not? Are you a joint heir? Have you been raised above? Ephesians 1 says Christ was raised above, sat at the right hand of God, far above principalities, powers, and every name that is named. And Ephesians 2 says, you he also quickened. And he raised you to sit with him in the same place. And I'm like, yes, I agree with it all. I see it, but I don't know you that way. I know you that way. I don't know me that way. He goes, that is the identity and the image that you'll have to assume before you receive the crown. Did you hear what I just said? Everybody wants the crown. It's prophesied we're going to get it. Amen? He said, I already wear your crown. He goes, I'm inviting you to wear the crown with me. And I go back day after day trying to acclimate to this. I promise you, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. I could acclimate to a lot of things. And we're deep around here. But this is as deep as it comes. And I'm like, Lord, I need help. Oh, I have no idea how to receive that image. Everything in me is fighting that position. I can say I'm a king. I get all that. We can walk around, yeah, I'm a king, hallelujah. But to sit with him, it's because when you sit with him, you're sitting in truth. So everything that's not of truth is going to show up. When I sit with him as a son, I know I'm a son. Some of you, I'll liken you. How many of you try to sit with him and all your stuff shows up? You're trying to sit with him as a son and all your old man shows up. He's trying to solidify sonship, but you're being constantly reminded of your old man. But see, the Bible says you're accepted in him. Now I got past that. As I found out I was accepted in the beloved, and then I got scriptures, the time he was working that part in me, the scripture that said, he presents you faultless before the Father. He presents you holy and without blame. Being found in him, not having your own righteousness. And I found out, oh my gosh, you were looking at mine. You were looking at yours. And when I made that adjustment, I said, you're presenting me faultless because I'm in you. I'm holy and without blame on you. I could climb out of my old stuff and climb into his good stuff. And when I learned to do that, I learned to be a son. And when I learned to do that, because faith won that battle. And then I learned to be a son. I learned to sit there. And it didn't matter. I could escape. Even when I was my old stuff would show up, I was able to move out of that and move into him. I was dwelling in him. You see that? And eventually it just took over. It's just like a hiding place. When I need to escape myself, I go into him. Now he's saying, do that as a king. I'm like, I don't know how to escape into being a king. Yet. You know how you're going to do it? I'll tell you the first thing, those of you who want to go for it. God's looking for people that will go for it. He wants people to believe. He's, from his perspective, he has not changed the way he sees you. It's our perspective that's got to shift. We got to go for it. You know what I do? I go up there. I'll get as much rest as I can possibly get in. When I start the union process, I'll get into the sonship. Everything's all good. And then when I start going for the king, I get all these scriptures. I've been raised together with you. You were buried in baptism. My old man was buried. You were raised and crowned. I was crowned with you. And man, my stuff will start fighting me, but I start agreeing. I said, I don't care what my identity says. I agree with who you said I am. Because the Lord asked me a question. I'm closing with this. When we got into the stuff with the two sons, if you haven't heard that, you need to hear it. About the prodigal and the elder. He goes, which one of those? He goes, when the prodigal came back, what did I do? I immediately restored his image. I never varied in the way I saw him. I restored his image, put the best robe on him. But then he asked me a question. Though I put the best robe on him, though the elder son was always with me, which one of those were ready to be crowned? I said, neither one of them. He said, but it belonged to both of them. Why couldn't they? Because they didn't dwell close enough to the crown to understand the identity of the crown. The elder brother dwelled in the father's house, and he didn't know the father. What did the father say to the elder brother? He said, all that I have is yours. All that's under my crown is yours. Don't you know that? He didn't. He didn't know that. If you think he was dwelling, think a minute, if he was dwelling in the crown with the father, close enough to the crown, do you think he'd have got jealous of what the father was doing? He would have known who he was and what he had. Jealousy will be erased when the heirs of God grow up. Nobody will care what's going on because they'll see that God has plenty for every joint heir that finds out who they are. Jealousy is a result of people not knowing who they are. They start looking at someone else's identity. But we start dwelling in our rightful places, joint heirs. We'll rejoice because Jesus has enough for everybody. Give him glory. I love it. Ephesians 2, I've been raised together. You're not just raised as a son. You're not just raised as a priest or an apostle. You're raised as the king too. You are an heir to the throne. That's a hard thing to get adjusted to, but we'll have to adjust. Maybe that's why we're not seeing what we're looking for. Maybe that's why when the Lord stepped onto the water upheld him because he was king of that. And the water recognized his authority. The water's living. When the bread and the loaves recognized his authority, the fish of the sea jumped in the net. They recognized his authority. As soon as he spoke, a fish will come out. The fish bearing the coin recognized the authority of that voice. The devils recognized him as soon as he walked up. They recognized his authority because he was wearing something that was not of this world. The world is going to recognize the authority of the last day sons. We're not kings in our own right. We're joint heir kings with him. And they're going to recognize his authority all over again in us. It's going to be forged into the image and the identity of joint heir kingship. And along with that will come the true dominion of the sons and daughters of the Most High that are going to reign in the last days. And that's where we are. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah!
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.